If you would take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We're just going to have one verse, which is going to be sort of a jumping off point for us. And then, Lord willing, in the next hour, we want to go to Daniel, which we understand you've been working through. We'll take up Daniel chapter 3. But just one verse here. Verse 1. Therefore, well, when you see a therefore, you always ask, what is it there for, right? And so you go back to chapter 1 and you see the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he is and how that he is just described in actually four different glories that he's brought before us as a prophet, as a priest, as a king, and as a son. And so therefore, we must give a more earnest heed. We need to pay attention to the things which we have heard, lest, here's a warning, lest we drift away. I think this is one of the most powerful warnings and challenges we find in the Word of God. And I want to use it this morning as a stepping stone to the subject of being students of the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. I think all of us would probably agree that we read quite regularly the Scriptures. But do we really make a point of studying the Word, becoming a student of the Word? And that's my thrust this morning with just verse 1. Lest we slip away, drift away. I think it's important to note that, first of all, truth doesn't drift away. Truth is the foundation. Truth is the pillar of truth, the church. And it's people that slip away from the truth. It's people that are caught away and drawn away from the things of God's Word. And so, therefore, I want to just use that as a challenge to say, okay, how do we stop from drifting away from God's Word? How do we become more anchored in the Word of God? And there's several things I want to just share with you. And then if we have time in this hour, I want to share some practical things of how to study. I've talked to so many people about studying the Bible, and one of the things that I get a reaction on very quickly is, well, we just don't know where to start. We don't know where to begin. Well, hopefully it make us some suggestions in terms of the practical steps of beginning to study God's Word, because that is what is going to keep you from drifting away. The word drift is synonymous with the thought of a ship that's anchored, and then the anchor starts to give way. And when the anchor gives way, what happens? Well, the ship is taken away with the current, and it's usually in the wrong direction from where the ship should be going. And that's so true about us. If our anchor in God's Word isn't steadfast, isn't fixed with personal commitment, then we're going to drift away from God's Word. There's a book that was published, I want to say, maybe 5 years ago. It was called The Drift. And it went in to show the drift that occurred with many of the Ivy League schools in the New England, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Columbia, Brown. These colleges were Bible schools. They were schools that were founded on the Word of God and were really used to teach the Scriptures. Not so today. Well, what happened? Well, there was changes in leadership, changes in instructors, and changes in rules, and changes in social custom to in terms of what's right and what's wrong. And these factors just caused a drift that brings them to where they are today. And it's sad to see that when we see what they used to be. And so I want to just, I'm not going to turn to every verse that I allude to, but maybe you can be taking some notes. And if not, I'll make my notes available if anybody wants to take them and make copies of them. For others that would like to have it, you're welcome to do that. But the Word of God is the spiritual lifeline of the believer, the spiritual lifeline. If we're not feeding on the Word of God, we're going to get unhealthy spiritually. And there's a beautiful little progression that I see in Scripture. First of all, we're to be drinking the milk of the Word, and that's in our younger days. But then we don't stay drinking milk. We go on to chewing on the Word of God from 1 Peter 2 to Hebrews chapter 5. And then later on, one of the ones that I particularly like, you know, after a good meal, you're always looking for something sweet, aren't you? Well, I like dessert, and we got the milk, we got the meat, but then we go to Psalm 119, verses 103, and you find the sweet honey. The sweet honey of the Word of God. And so it's really neat to see how that the Word of God expects us to feed on it. I probably don't miss too many meals throughout the day. Most of us have three meals a day, and sometimes I might have four, I don't know. But how many times do we spend feeding on the Word of God every day? And that's a challenge for all of us. There's some preparations to study the Bible. And I'll just go through this quickly. Open up the Word of God and first of all, pray over it. Pray over the Word of God. Ask for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who opens the Word of God. He's the one that speaks to us and reveals to us the truth, the deep things of the Lord he's promised to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then as you begin to pray for the Holy Spirit's teaching and leading in the Word of God, then to read over the passage that you're going to study. For instance, if you're going to take up Colossians 3, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, if you're permitted to have a favorite chapter, Philippians 2 is pretty good too. Romans 12. But anyway, you take up a chapter, and what I suggest is read it over numerous times, at least 7-8 times, and then to read it over in different translations, credible translations that you trust. Many of you maybe remember John Bramhall from years ago. John told me one time he never goes to the platform and speaks on a subject, a portion of Scripture that he hasn't personally read 25 times before he gets up there. Spend some time reading the Word of God. And I think along that line that every believer should be going through the whole Scripture at least once a year. At least once a year. So many guides we have available to read through. And the simplest guide is 3 a day and 5 on Sunday. That takes you from Genesis to Revelation. And so spend some time reading. And then meditating and listen to the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. Once you've spent time reading that many times, you're going to be storing up some thoughts. But the thought is to be quiet and listen. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Sometimes at night I find myself, if I'm studying a portion of Scripture and some thoughts are churning in my mind, the Holy Spirit brings some ideas. I want to jump up and go write them down before I lose them. It happens even in the later hours of the morning. It seems like the Holy Spirit activates our memory and says, well, what about this? Think about that. And so the thought is just listen. Just listen to the Spirit of God's prompting with regard to thoughts on what you've been studying. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 is a tremendous verse that gives us wisdom. Learn the techniques of Bible study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word of truth is something that needs to be approached in terms of distinctions. There are very clear distinctions that help us interpret. Dispensational distinctions. One of the big distinctions is the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. Those are distinctions that many times give us a little bit of trouble when we're in the Gospels. And then who is the message to, who are we speaking to. So many distinctions, and so we're to rightly divide. The word rightly divide is a medical term, as I understand it. It means when you're operating on somebody, just remember this the next time you're operating on somebody, that when you have a knife, cut straight. You probably wouldn't want to go to a surgeon that didn't know how to cut straight, right? Well, that's the Greek word there, to cut straight and to make those distinctions. And then rightly divide, and sometimes the word study is used, sometimes the diligence, which would reflect a habit of studying with diligence, repeated. Start with study. Don't give up. Just keep on going in the study of the Word of God. I've often seen the spiritual healthiness of a believer is tied to the Word of God. Let me share this with you. Someone who knows God's Word, he knows what God thinks. That's his mind. When he knows God's will, that's knowing what God wants. That's his heart. And then knowing God's ways. Well, that's what God is. We're to be godly. And as we know what God is, then that affects our character. And those three things are tied together. From the mind, it affects the passions of the heart. The passions of the heart drive the activities of the individual. And so you have his word, his will, and his ways. And biblical principles form biblical attitudes. And biblical attitudes form biblical behavior. It's all tied together. Another key verse in terms of study is 2 Timothy 3:16. Studied, there we see all scripture given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You see, the Bible can thoroughly furnish us for everything we'd ever face in scripture as well as in this world. And I like this little four-point thought here. Doctrine, that's knowing what is right. Reproof, that's knowing what is not right. And then correction, that's knowing how to get right. And then there is instruction, and that's knowing how to stay right. And so the Word of God is God's Word. It's right. And as we apply ourselves to it with doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, it's going to help us on the path to be not ashamed as we stand before the Lord and his people. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 14. And I am going to turn there because it's three verses that I want to emphasize. So 2 Timothy, just flip over a few pages with me here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry, verses 12 through 14. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 14. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we see that today, don't we? But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. There's three words I want to just share with you. First of all, desire. There needs to be a hunger to live godly in Christ Jesus. And so all who desire to live godly, there needs to be a desire. That desire comes from the Lord and from his Spirit. And then discernment. There needs to be discernment in today's world, especially for the believer. To recognize deception, to recognize falsehood, to recognize that that is not of the Lord. And then diligence, the end of that verse, continuing in the things which you have learned. And so you have those three, all preachers use the same word, don't we? The same letter, three D's. They say that that's so they help you remember it, but I think it's because we like to just be quickie. Desire, discernment, and diligence in that portion of Scripture. And so we see here the thought in Hebrews 2:1 is the thought of a command and a warning, a command and a warning. We're to give most earnest heed. That's the sense of imperative. It's like the order that a commander would give to a soldier. Pay attention to these things. And as we pay attention to the things that are written in God's Word, it'll be a warning to us. If we fail to do that, we will be tempted to drift away, to drift away. Now, I want to just take a few minutes and talk about some very practical aspects of studying the Word of God. Where do we start? Well, as I said before, choose a paragraph or a chapter, maybe no more than 10 verses or 20 verses at the most, and read over that passage. Read over it and over it and over it. Read it several translations, several even paraphrases that are credible. And then here's the next thing, and I found this to be very, very helpful. After you have prayed over the Word of God and you've selected a portion of Scripture and you've read it over and over and over, then take a blank sheet of paper, lined paper is easier, and write it out in your hand. I don't know why, but when I went to school, I never learned how to cursive. Many of you know how to write cursive. I always printed. I ended up being a draftsman for a couple of years. Printing. I still print. I sign my name and that's cursive. That's it. But it doesn't matter whether you're cursive or not. Write it out. And I guarantee you, you will see things in that scripture, in that process that you would have never seen before. You'll see things as you write it out. It causes you to think as you write, letter by letter, word by word, punctuation by punctuation, pronouns and titles. It'll be impressed upon you as you read, writing it out. And then save that piece of paper that you've written out the portion of Scripture you're going to study, because you're going to do more things with it, as I'm going to suggest in just a moment. And then, after you've written it out, then decide if there are divisions, if there's groups of thought. Show the break in the flow of the Scriptures. Looking for transitional words. For instance, in chapter 2 of Hebrews, one of the transitions, well, therefore, is a key. You find it in verse 2, you find it in verse 17, you find it elsewhere. And then the little word, but. Here you have the first part of chapter 2. We're looking at the Son of Man and how he was made lower than the angels. But, now here's a transition. They're going from man to Jesus. But we see Jesus, and so there's a focus there that's changing. And so you need to identify the paragraphs and the grouping of verses that represent a new approach, a new thought, a new theme. And take that piece of paper that you handwritten and draw a line across it to show that this is a break. This is a new division. This is a new part. And then after you've formed that that transition, you show the breaks in the different portions, then give a title to each one of those breaks. If you're studying a chapter and maybe there's three sections that are distinctly a different approach or a different topic, a different thrust, give a title for it and make it easier to stand out. This is of man. This is of Jesus. This is of God. Sometimes it gets a little fancy when you can connect the titles in sort of a descriptive way to make it easier to remember as well. And then you can get subtopics. You can go underneath the main divisions and start looking at subdivisions. But the main divisions are the main thing. And then here's where it becomes fun. Some of you are more visually oriented than others. I like colors. I'm an artist. I do oil painting. And so I put a whole collection of colored markers before me. And we begin to, for instance, in this chapter, I used yellow to circle all the words for angel. The angels. Okay, yellow. I don't know why. Yellow just seems to fit angels. I took the color red and circled all the titles for deity, even the pronouns, the hymns and he, and the names of deity, the titles of deity, red. So let them stand out, and you see the connections. And then other things you'll see. Use green, use purple, whatever. But you'll see many things that are going to be jumping out at you. And when they jump out and you see some of the things I'm going to talk about next, that is the things that you identify, write them and circle them and allow yourself to go back down through them. Now, one of the things I didn't say was when you write out this portion of scripture that you're going to be studying, you could also type it out if you want to after you've written. I really suggest you write it out first. But then if it's easier to work with, you can always use the word processor and you bring in the margins so it's almost centered on the page and you got about an inch or a half on either side of the text that you're typing. And that margin is going to be where you're going to collect thoughts and things that you'll see. For instance, some of the things you'll want to look at, contrasts. The Bible is full of contrasts, law and grace, over and over and over. You'll see that all through the book of Hebrews. The priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, in contrast to the and show how the priesthood is different under Melchizedek and under Aaron. Contrast. And then look for lists. There are things that often occur in the passage. And there's a list of things. Well, the Holy Spirit makes lists because he wants us to pay attention to those things. And so we see many things are just listed almost as a grocery list that Barbara uses when she goes through the grocery store. Don't forget this one and this and this. Well, you see it in Scripture. Lists. And those lists sometimes are very significant. And then there's progressions. Progressions. A progression is something that starts out with one word, and that word leads you to another word, and that word leads you to another word, and another word comes after that. And it's words and thoughts that are connected. There's a relationship between the words. And so you have this progression of thought, one leading to another. And you'll see some really beautiful things in that as well. One of the things that I enjoy seeing in Scripture, and it's also a triad. It's probably one of the most common used triads in all of Scripture, is past, present, and future. The whole Bible is really focused on eternity past, eternity future, and the present. And that's what we have when we remember the Lord, isn't it? We look back to the cross. And then he says, do this until I come. That's the future. In the meantime, what do? We remember. And you can see past, present, and future built all through. And, you know, that's one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the I Am. Well, what is the I Am? Well, he defines that later in Revelation. Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's the one who was, he's the one who is, and he's the one who is to come. He's the Alpha and Omega and everything in between. And so the I Am, the one that introduced himself to Moses, trying to encourage him to go deliver the people, he made that first clear. I am the I Am, the ever-present one, the ever-past one, the ever-future continuing one. So you see things like that, wrapped around a title of the Lord. And then pay attention to questions and answers. Sometimes you can take a portion of Scripture, and for instance, Paul is particularly good at this. He'll present arguments, and he'll present the argument with a question. What about this? What about this? What about this? Look for not only the questions, but then look for the answers. Many times he gives an answer to his own question. Or many times he'll have to look somewhere else in Scripture to find the answer. And let me just say this at this point. The best commentary, I don't care what commentary you have, I don't care how many commentaries you have in your library and on your bookcase, is the one commentary that is the very best. It's right here. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And it's a wonderful way to see the connections. And so that's one thing you look for. You look for connections. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 2, you have the writer quoting from Psalm 8. And so you go back to Psalm 8, interestingly enough. And I don't know, I guess you had an intro to Hebrews and you decided who wrote it, right? You probably have an opinion. I'll share my opinion. It's probably not right, but I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. You see him in chains. He talks about his being in chains. He knew Timothy very intimately at the end of the book. And he uses the exact same phrase to end the epistle that he does in every one of his other epistles. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And so, anyway, I don't know how I got off on that track. But look for these things. Questions and answers. Make connections. Comparisons. One of the things you find as you go through the book of Hebrews is the betters. Everything's better in Christ. Better in Christ. Sometimes it's much more better in Christ. And another time, it's so much more better in Christ. Those are beautiful comparisons of looking at the thoughts that are wrapped around those statements. Metaphors, looking at parts of speech. Metaphors there are assigning a truth to an inanimate object, looking at an individual's character and looking at it in relation to a material thing. The Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to build his church on a rock. Well, that word in the Greek for rock there is not the pebble that he named the Lord named Peter. The rock for Peter was a little rock that a little boy could pick up and throw it as far as he could. You did that when you were boys, didn't you? Pick up a rock and see if he can hit the tree. That's the pebble of Peter. But when he came to speaking of the church, upon this rock I will build my church. It's the rock of Gibraltar. It's the rock that doesn't move. It's the rock that's steadfast. Nobody can pick it up. Nobody can chip it away. And so it's interesting to look at the metaphors that are used in a text. And there are so many different parts of speech. English is the only foreign language I took in high school. So I had to go back and really study grammar and all those other terms but you may not have to do that. And then symbolism. Symbols are used so often to represent truth. And then repetition. I've learned a long time ago that the Holy Spirit doesn't stutter. When he repeats something, there's a reason for it. And he repeats something over and over and over again. Look at the repetitions that are found in Scripture. And then there are some things that you need to identify from a background situation. Look at the historical references. Look at Bible quotations from the old and the new. Look at positional titles, relationships, prayers, doxologies, warnings and commands, and that's where you come to verse 1 of chapter 2. There's another little thing that I think is useful. It's the who, what, why, where, when, and how. You put a chart together, and then you bring down on the left those six things. Who, what, where, why, when, and how. And then you look at the different groups and answer those questions. And you develop a chart that sometimes is helpful when you do that. That is just some ideas to study. I want to just close with a few thoughts. And that is, number one, review your observations and begin to put them together cohesively and form some overall themes and ideas that these observations bring together. And when you get to the point of forming interpretations, you're gonna bring together, for instance, the chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, what is salvation? What is he referring to? The salvation by grace in the New Testament, the deliverance in the Old Testament. A lot of discussion over what that salvation really is. And so you come up with an interpretation, hermeneutics of that portion and that word. And when you get to that point, then I suggest then you turn to other commentaries, only to make sure you're not in left field, you know? If you come up with an interpretation that you feel is this, and then every credible commentary you pick up says, no, it's something else, you better go back and restudy it and take a second look at it. So it's a good way to double-check yourself. And then the most important question you ask as you study God's Word, the most important question you can ask is, okay, I've heard what God is saying. And I've heard what he's saying to the Jews, Hebrews, but then ask the question, what is he saying to me? What is the profit to my heart? If we don't ask that question, we come up with a bunch of head knowledge. And head knowledge just leads you to pride and a puffed up spirit. But when you ask, okay, what is the Spirit of God through the Word of God saying to my heart, that's when you're humbled. You're humbled because he may be rebuking you. He may be, the Word of God may be asking you to make a change, do something different, whatever it might be. Ask, how am I learning as an individual to my heart from the study? I'm going to stop there and we'll take up Daniel 3 in just a little bit. Again, I'll suggest if you want a copy of my notes with all those fast thoughts and references, you can take that as well. Father, we just thank you for the Bible. We thank you for many men of God that have not been spared. They've been burned at the stake. They've been slaughtered. They've been persecuted and given their life because they were not willing to compromise the truth. Lord, help us to have a strong anchor, that it might be anchored in the truth and that it'll keep us from drifting away from all that you want us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.